This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour Canada report recorded on Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm Marc Boulanger.
Trade unions, labour unions, and local authorities, you know, need to get a better sense of the public bank.
That is Thomas Marwa, the director of the Public Banking Project at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. There is growing interest amongst labour organizations around the world to support and lobby for public banks that are really pro-public. I asked Mr. Marwa about these pro-public banks.
Public banks are something that I think have been largely overlooked by trade unions and union activists, both in terms of public banks impacting jobs and public services and infrastructure, but also in terms of the unionization of these quite powerful and large and prolific institutions. And I say prolific institutions because public banks are banks that are worldwide. There are more than 900 of them in existence presently, with over $49 trillion in assets. That's 10% greater than the GDPs of the U.S., Germany, and China combined. So, you know, these are banks that are just like any other bank, like HSBC or the Citibank and so on, but they're publicly owned. They are owned by a government or a municipal authority or another public entity. They will have a mandate often to serve a public good, but not necessarily. Or they might be, in fact, founded and governed by public law. But not all banks and public banks are necessarily inherently pro-public or good. So when we're talking about a pro-public public bank, for me, it's often about an institution, a public bank that lifts up its community, that supports through concessional loans or better terms or technical support, public services. In fact, it provides supportive finance and has mechanisms for democratic accountability within the community.
So what do you say to banks that exist today that say they are public because the shareholders own them?
I mean, you mean public in terms of publicly owned on the stock market?
Yeah.
Well, those are effectively private banks because they're private individuals or corporations or investment funds that own them. So they're something quite different. Public bank is really about ownership from a public authority, specifically, and or through other public entities, but not through individual ownership through the stock market, because those are often bound fiduciary duty to maximize profit for its shareholders. A public bank, some of them can, you know, be profit oriented, but often they will have no profit mandate at all, but they will have clear policy mandate.
When we talk about public banks here, we are not talking about members of the public being part of the experience, being part of the bank. We're talking about some institution that is publicly owned, like an agency, is the owner of the public bank. Is that true?
Yes. By and large, a public bank will be defined as majority owned by the Canadian government or by the Vietnam government. Or there are ones that are owned by a grouping of municipalities, for example, in the Nordic region. Typically, we're not talking about individuals having a small share. Like, that would be more, you know, credit unions or cooperative banks. You know, but in effect, those are private institutions, but they're owned collectively by its members. That's something different. By and large, when we're talking about public banks, we're talking about state-owned banks or banks that are explicitly owned and controlled by public authorities.
Can you give us some examples of pro-public banks supporting public services or public service workers at local development?
Sure. You know, part of this, I think, is that these banks really exist around the world, and we need to learn a bit more about them. But I can point to quite a number of examples that I've dug into and looked at a little bit. Few that stand out for me. We recently did some research on public banks and public water in Europe, and there's a bank called the Dutch Water Bank, which was created in the late 1950s to support water infrastructure. It's evolved, and now it has an explicit mandate that says it calls itself a bank by and for the public sector in the Netherlands, and it does a lot to support water, but also clean energy and social housing and so on. You can also look at institutions in the Global South. In this paper I did for the Public Citizens International, I talk about the Finnveterm Bank, which is a development bank, which is a bank that lends more to municipalities or to other large organizations. And that bank specializes in supporting local authorities and local infrastructure, and was relatively recently created in the late 1980s. You know, and then we can jump back, if you will, to Europe, the Council of Europe Development Bank, which is a multilateral bank owned by different member countries of Europe, but has an explicitly social mandate. So it has, you know, no profit mandate at all. And its lending is geared towards supporting health, municipal infrastructure, water, but also social infrastructure. So supporting small, medium-sized organizations, often NGOs, and these kinds of organizations. And then we could talk about examples from Morocco to Turkey to Japan. They really are all around the world. We just need to, in a sense, pay a little more attention to these and try to support and draw out those more pro-public, pro-community functions already publicly owned banks have and are doing to support and to sort of magnify them, to support local workers and jobs and so on.
Do you have any examples from Canada or the United States, or is the environment in these countries not conducive to public banks, pro-public banks?
Those are actually two very different examples. So in Canada, I'm Canadian, I'm from Western Canada, from Alberta. There is actually a strong legacy of public banks in Canada that if you add them all up, there's almost a trillion Canadian dollars held within public financial institutions. So they're actually massive in Canada. My province, Alberta, we have the Alberta Treasury Branch, which is a commercial public bank, one that takes deposits, gives loans, mortgages, and it's been around since the 1930s. But more recently, Canada created a development bank, an infrastructure bank called the Canada Infrastructure Bank. And this is a funny entity because its mandate is actually to use public money to leverage or maximize private investors, which is a terrible mandate, which is the exact, you know, in a sense, the opposite of what the Dutch Water Bank does, which was a bank by and for the public sector. The Canada Infrastructure Bank says, let's use public money to support private investment. So that's what it was created to do. But fortunately, it failed at that. And it's doing much better in mobilizing public funds. So looking at public-public collaboration, where the Canada Infrastructure Bank is lending directly to municipalities across Canada to support electric buses, support municipal infrastructure, and recently did a really interesting loan. We have this bank called the First Nations Bank of Canada, which is a bank owned by Indigenous communities, and the Canada Infrastructure Bank gave it a $100 billion loan to support infrastructure in Indigenous communities. So it's actually doing much better in Canada in supporting the public sector than its mandate originally had hoped it would, which is good. And I think that's actually a result from a lot of trade union pressure from Canadian Union public employees in Canada that has really held that bank to account. In the U.S., there's not that same kind of legacy. There's the Bank of North Dakota, goes back to about 1919. It's an interesting institution, relatively small, but there's not much else presently going on in the United States, although they've begun to create a whole series of public-like or quasi-public green banks. And recently, the government announced the $5 billion green loans that's going to go to what's called the Coalition for Green Capital. And it looks like they'll create a new public-like green bank for green infrastructure in the future. That was just a couple weeks ago. Things are very new. You know, and we'll see what happens with that institution.
What are some recommendations for how labor unions and local authorities can support pro-public banks?
First and foremost, you know, I think trade unions and labor unions and local authorities, you know, need to get a better sense of the public banks and get organized around that. And why I say that is because they need to demand a seat at the table. Trade unions and local authorities should be in conversation with these often very powerful public financial institutions and helping to set the priorities of investment, the conditions of investment, but also holding these institutions to account. You know, there is really nothing inherently better about a public bank. They're only as good as society makes them to be. And they can go very, very wrong if they're not held to account. And so, you know, for trade unions and local authorities, they should be involved. And then they can, you know, really help to democratize these institutions at the local level. But I would also emphasize that there is a need for trade unions at a more collective and multilateral level to be involved in the multilateral negotiations right now around green and just transition, because a lot of money is going to go into climate, into climate resilient infrastructure, which is going to have huge implications for cities and for essential infrastructure. So, you know, get involved with things like the Public Service International, TUED, or Trade Unions for Energy Democracy. These large organizations are quite involved and are eager to shape the future of just transition. So instead of the World Bank agenda of privatizing public entities or pushing public-private partnerships that are only ever in the interest of private investors, that we begin to define a new, innovative, ambitious agenda around public-public collaboration. We're coordinating through public banks at the multilateral level to the national development level, and that those national public banks are then providing supportive finance and technical support to public services within communities in a way that enables them to be sustainable, climate friendly, but also retain local jobs and expertise and knowledge and unionized jobs.
Where can unionists find more information about public banks, especially pro-public banks?
There's a desperate need for more information on this, and especially around excavating those stories and existing experiences of pro-public banks. But you can begin by doing internet searches, seeing if there is a public bank within your community, within your country, within your region. But there's also a growing forum. It's called the Finance in Common Summit. The Finance in Common Summit. If you Google that, you will see there's a new organization of bringing together the world's public development banks, and then quite a lot of like research and support and data that you can draw on. And there's quite a, you know, number of papers that are beginning to emerge there showing some of the potential of public banks. And I would say also, you know, take a look at the public banking project, which I direct at McMaster University. We're beginning to put more and more information up on pro-public public banks, or the ways that public banks can foster public-public collaborations. And then there's the Public Services International publication on, you know, how we can look at public banks and quality local public services.
And that's it. Labor news you can use. You can listen to our newscasts and features at radiolabor.net. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening.